email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
So a texter in here, no cash in most of Europe these days. It's rare to see it in Sweden. I know that, Ian. Actually, funny enough, if you go southernly in Italy, it's cash only often. And I was in Italy a little while ago, and you have to pay a tourist tax in every hotel, which I think is so unfriendly, because as you're checking out, you're paying your bill. I was saying to the manager, who spoke perfect English and understood, I said, why don't you make the, it's a city tax you pay. I said, why don't you make the tax part of the bill so I don't notice it and I don't feel kind of singled out as a tourist who's come to the town and spending money? And said, no, because, and you have to go up the town. If you don't have cash, of course, most hotels now will take your credit card. But in southern Italy, in my experience, Sicily particularly, it was cash only, and it was like €4 a person for tax, which kind of blew my mind a little bit. So have you got caught out with having to have cash only ever? I have loads and loads and loads of times. And as I said, I've had to flip-flop up the town. I wonder if what would be your perfect dinner party? So as I said, mine would be Marilyn Monroe, the Yeti, the captain of the Titanic, and the Loch Ness Monster, who might not fit in. But let me know, what's your perfect dinner party? Now, before we go anywhere, what's this music? When it was announced that Sarah Jessica Parker was resurrecting Carrie Bradshaw for a whole new series of Sex and the City, fans from all over the world were shrieking in anticipation of seeing the Manhattan Girls back on their screens. However, despite all the hype, and just like that, debuted in 2021 to mixed reviews, quickly becoming people's number one hate watch show, last week news broke that the reboot had been cancelled and the third season would be its last, leaving some fans devastated and others saying it might be for the best. To discuss the many highs and lows, and just like that, and the culture phenomenon that of the world of Sex and the City. How good was that? I'm joined by Esther Moore Donoghue and Connor Bean. How good was that? I've rehearsed that all morning.
This is just like Carrie, Samantha, and Charlotte and all the girls hanging out at brunch.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So, okay.
Oh, honey.
It's good to see you both.
Hello to see you.
I basically said the young people are coming in to explain Sex and the City to us.
I've been called young in years.
So tell me this. Who are you? Remember you used to play that game? Who are you? Are you Carrie, Samantha, Charlotte?
Oh.
I think everyone would say, well, I mean, I love Carrie. Everyone thinks they're Carrie. Like, oh, I put the outfits together, the ensembles, but they're like Miranda, because Miranda's kind of was in touch and stuff.
And she was in a corporate job with good money.
In my world, everybody was Samantha.
I was about to say, and it's always, by the way, the most boring person who goes, I'm such a Samantha. I'm like, you wouldn't even walk beside Samantha in a bar. Like, please relax. Sadly, I'm kind of a Charlotte in many ways.
Yeah, probably am a Charlotte.
Not very cool to say, but that's probably where I land.
And as, like, we're getting straight into it, right? Because,
no messing.
And I hope all the fans are listening, because as fans of the show, we did start to put them into boxes of character types.
That's
right?
A good point. Yeah, before the reboot ever even happened.
Yeah, so we knew that, and towards the end of the sixth series of Sex and the City, I think Carrie suffered with the label of being a little bit, maybe a little bit narcissistic, is it safe to say?
I think what you've hit on there is the original Sex and the City ran for six seasons and it became so big that the characters felt a bit like archetypes, and then they did two movies, 2008 and 2010. The second film in particular wasn't very critically well received.
It was wojous.
It's pretty bad.
Was it?
Oh, very bad.
To use a term. I think that was part of what the show started to hit the skids a little bit, was the characters felt too broad and removed from what made them so interesting at the start. So when we got a reboot in 2021, there was, I think, as you mentioned in the intro, a hope that it would be a fresh start, but it did feel like, okay, again, these characters are not, it's not that they're not the same. I like when characters evolve, but they just felt removed from reality. Like the wealth and the kind of weird decisions that they made created a weird vibe.
But I don't know. We always knew they were wealthy and they always lived in this kind of elite atmosphere in Manhattan. And that's what we liked. It was like, you know, there was in The Simpsons once, they had Patty and Selma smoking cigarettes on the couch watching Sex and the City going, it's so like our lives.
Yes.
And I'd be sitting there picking crumbs off my top, eating crisps. And I'd be like, it's just like looking in a mirror.
I'm such a Carrie.
Yeah, I'm a total Carrie.
You're such a Miranda, Brendan. You are.
Exactly. So that's what we liked. It, like, we know it was glamorous and escapism. And it had problems. Like, there was, it's some of the storylines are like, now you go, excuse me, they were questionable.
Yeah.
But then, like you said, they came back with the two films. The second film, I think, and just like that, is a course correction for how bad the second film was. It was too broad. I remember Sarah Jessica Parker at the time was going, it's a romp, it's a lighthearted skip through
Abu
Dhabi.
It was an ad for an airline.
It was an ad for an airline. And it was like, we didn't want a romp. We wanted, you know.
Normal, but like believability to a degree.
Exactly.
Yeah. Tell me if this was movie one, right? And I think as a sort of a mid-level fan now. So when it was originally on in the mid-2000s, I think the four seasons.
Yeah,
was
it started in 1998, 1999. Yeah. I got it on telly in 1999, 2000.
Okay, so then it must have been in repeat. Obviously, it went into repeat.
Oh,
and sort of mid.
On.
Yeah, so cool.
Myself and my flatmate in London, if somebody was having boy trouble, it was like, let's just get the wine and put on Sex and Say. They'll know what to do.
Yeah.
Like you nearly took advice from them, right?
Yeah.
It was kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how applicable that was to my life, but like certainly, I think even things like brunch culture, and you'd be like,
brunch culture.
We are just so sophisticated.
That's
going
Sex
for
Sex and the City all over.
That's Sex and the City, and they kind of popularized that, or people having cosmopolitans. They're like,
Manon LeBlanc's like reach and awareness with the casual like viewer is probably 10 million times what it would have been without Sex and the City. You know, like it put all these things on our culture. Right, like you mentioned Cosmos and brunch, and I think too, like the one thing about Sex and the City and the remake, people were kind of hard on just like that for how clunky it was about trying to embrace diversity and different perspectives, which I think is a noble cause, but it didn't always land well with the writing and how it was done. But you forget that the original show was really groundbreaking for having these four female characters talk about sex, their varying opinions. Some were single, some weren't. Its approach to marriage and all these different things. The show would have been quote unquote woke for its era as well. Like it blazed a trail, and then because they blazed such a trail, they then looked kind of almost a little bit out of touch at times because they helped move us along. And that's really its footprint now, as you watch so many shows and go, oh, that's Sex and the DNA. Even from Darren Star, the creator of the series, who was originally involved the first few seasons. Like, he left around season 3 or 4. He did Emily in Paris, Younger. He's done shows that feel very much in the vein of Sex and the City. Even Patricia Field, who did the costumes in the original, she's done Emily in Paris.
Oh,
Younger.
Really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so you can, and that's why she didn't go back for Just Like That, apparently, because she was on Emily in Paris at the time. And so those shows have a similar.
So Patricia Field and Darren Star are synonymous with Sex and the City for me.
Yeah.
And they were gone. Well, he was gone after season 3.
Yeah, Michael Patrick Kinn has been the main kind of showrunner and director since like season 3. He did the movies. He's very involved in Just Like That. His statement about the end of the show last week was what announced it to the world, with reports saying the rest of the team apparently found out the day before.
Yeah.
Wow.
About the end of the series.
But I think also what it kind of educated us in terms of like, say, these different brands and this different way of living and accessing this different life. And Patricia Field's, like, the costume design that she created for these characters, like the influence of Carrie Bradshaw as a character, the way she's still influencing fashion designers, and she's still a reference. I'm sure she's on so many pin boards, you know, designer showrooms or whatever, etc. But also Sex and the City, the original series, raised the bar in terms of television and what and allowed for that crossover between movie actors and TV actors. Yeah. Sarah Jessica Parker was like it's a first world problem. She was like, it's a real risk me going on to prestige TV, but now they're all doing it. Like Nicole Kidman moves between doing these big
people.
Yeah, exactly. And before Sex and the City, that was you were like in movies or you're in TV, and that was it.
Do you remember she had the bird headpiece for the wedding?
Yeah.
That was a movie one.
That was a movie, yeah.
Which was one of the most incredible scenes ever. That movie, that opening sequence, jilted at the altar. Jesus. Yeah. It was really funny enough where Charlotte goes,
and Charlotte's, she can't move. She waddled and she, oh, heart wrenching when she's bashing him over the head.
I mean, that was promising, wasn't it? That opening sequence. I remember that. But interesting, there's a number of texts here, Brendan. Hi, Brendan. Sex and the City was my Bible. The wit, the funny incidents, some are more the better than others, but the series got off of movies was true. Kim Cattrall had the right idea. Another texter. And Just Like That series tried too hard to be relevant, and I miss Samantha too much. Did the series, the reboot, really just miss Samantha? I believe it did.
I think that was part of it. She was such an iconic part of the original foursome, and for whatever about supposed feuds amongst cast members.
Yeah, what's the goss on that?
I mean, it's you would need a good hour to get into all the particulars. The gist was that basically Sarah Jessica and Kim Cattrall seemingly never got on, and that when the show was created, SJP was the lead, and as it went on, it became more of an ensemble piece. I think there was a bit of like, why is SJP a producer when we're not? In this reboot, the three main cast were all executive producers, and apparently on like similar money. And I think in the original run, if you watch that first series, it's not quite the four gals in New York thing. It's got a voiceover to camera.
Yeah.
Like SJP and Carrie is kind of leading on her own. I think the foursome thing developed over time and is what made the show really work.
Yeah.
And then to not have that in the reboot, I think was a little bit of an issue. As the new one went on, I think some of the new characters started to feel like as relevant and interesting. It just took time because you were putting new actors for this audience with characters we have two decades of history with. So it's always going to be, and we project a lot onto the original show now as well. So it's a tough
sell. Hate saying this. Did it feel a little bit like the oldies and the newies? And they jarred a little bit, and you didn't quite believe the relationships.
I don't think they met. Like I was saying to Connor outside, was like, I think if they were going to come back for season four, it was like they need to cut some of the ancillary characters and new people. Like it was great to have like you know different people on screen, but it was like we were invested in you know Charlotte, Carrie, Samantha, and Miranda, and it's like. If they were making use of the new characters like Lisa Todd Wexley and her incredible wardrobe, like great, and Seema, but they weren't really, and I, you know, they didn't seem to have these characters really broadly drawn. Like Seema, I was saying to Connor as well, she went in to get a bank loan. This woman is a sophisticated woman living in Manhattan. She's made she sold hundreds of millions of dollars worth of real estate, and she goes into the bank like with me with an A4 sheet going, I'd like a loan, please, for my new bank, and she gets her, and she's like, no, sorry, that's not believable. I mean, okay, we know it's a fiction, but please. You know, do a little bit of brainstorming. Yeah. Put in ChatGPT.
Well, the tone of it was strange.
Speaking about not believable, I really enjoyed this. Okay, so one of the major talking points of the new reboot for the last three seasons was Lisa's dad.
Do you know what? Yeah.
Right?
Yes, this is kind of wild.
Specifically, the living status of Lisa's dad. This really makes us laugh, right? So just tell us who Lisa was for people who don't know.
Lisa Todd Wexley, or LTW as she's known on the show. We meet her in season one and she's friends with Charlotte. She's meant to be kind of in the
school
mom with a great fashion sense, kind of in the art world, kind of like meant to be a counterpart for Charlotte. And as the show went on, we've seen more of her home life. Her husband's a politician in New York. She's got this family life. Her husband's dad doesn't really like her own family, so it was complicated. But she's kind of a glamorous character. And in season one, there's a reference from Lisa about her. She says to Charlotte, oh, when I lost my dad, it was very difficult.
So hang on, we have a clip of that. It's important. Proof.
I could barely keep it together in front of the girls just now.
I was the exact same way when I lost my dad last year. I could see my rings literally shaking on my hands while I was trying to be so strong for them.
So that's season one. Dad's dead.
Season one. And then what happens? In season two, Billy Dee Williams plays Lisa's dad and he has an arc on the show.
So yeah, he appears at her son's recital, which could happen perhaps.
Okay, here's the proof. Here's the clip.
Oh, Daddy, I'm so happy you came.
Darling, this looks like it has the makings of a magical evening.
Wow.
And then in season three, her dad dies.
She mentioned that her dad has died. There's a whole big funeral scene. She's got a whole episode about it.
It's a really and it's good like, episode, ironically.
Oh, he's dead again.
So here is the clip.
My father died. Oh my God. When?
This afternoon.
He had a stroke. Out of nowhere.
When? Season one.
Yeah.
But the mad thing is videos of fans coding these clips together go viral. Everyone's like, wow, what a plot hole. And a lot of the entertainment outlets like Entertainment Weekly and Today.com picked on, and sources told all of them it's meant to be her stepdad she's referencing in season one, and that's where you meet her biological dad in two. And the thing is, I kind of get that, but
do you buy it?
Doesn't she know that they never clarified it.
I'm like, why? When Billy Dee Williams was on, he was great. Like, I mean, he's an icon in cinema. I was like, great to have him on the show. There should have been that's my biological dad. I don't know him that well, or even her saying that, because that episode about his death this season was one of the few really strong episodes. And I'm like, you've kind of undermined what was actually quite a strong moment for the show.
Could have cleared this up.
I mean, someone say, and I know he didn't see him much because he's your boy or whatever. And then you go, no, they actually address this. But I think in a strange way, as funny as that is, because it's gas whether you believe the other thing or not.
It's very funny, yeah.
It also sums up our issue with the reboot that like people felt like it wasn't quite delivering. And I think it was almost something people seized on to be like, see, I'm not crazy. Yeah. It is a bit off. And okay. That's why it latched on with people.
Yeah, like I think the Atlantic said it's trying to be everything for everyone and ends up like giving us nothing. And that's what it was. It's trying to do too much. Like in the first season, we were like, okay, look, we're getting the TED talk now. Or look, there's different people living in the world. And we gave them, and we said, okay, that's fine. And season two is still, we're like, it's not working, baby. But still, I would watch these women in a white room stacking grains of rice for 16 hours a day. I am
very
sad that
avant-garde. I would watch that. Yeah,
I think I got a vision of Willy Wonka in the chocolate factory. That scene on the TV. I don't know why that came into my head, but I was like the WhatsApp groups last week was like it's over. What?
No,
I was
devastated. And like I've seen the penultimate episode. Which airs tomorrow, and like it's one of the strongest ones of the whole series, and the tone of it is much more what you want the show to be. And you're like, don't tell me at the end you're going to finally get it together.
Yeah. Because they've gotten rid of Aiden, they've gotten rid of Big, so now it's like a new slate clean. She's potentially opening up to different storylines, and now
so
they're
fundamentally you're disappointed it's gone.
Yes, yeah, of course.
It's felt final. The way they've talked about this ending doesn't just feel like, hey, we might see in a couple of years from the movie. It feels very much like goodbye SJP's post, goodbye to Carrie. I'm like, this does feel like a kind of abrupt ending to something that will never go away.
Well, it's culturally iconic.
Yes.
As are you both.
Let's do brunch.
Let's do brunch. I love it. Okay, thank you, Connor, being in EOD.
EOMD. SJP and EOMD.
Thank you so much. Let's take a bit of Dua Lipa.